Ready.
Ray.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Riders Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, you're Rena, we're fam. We read comics.
Except for this week, we have to read it backwards because it's a manga.
That's a comic.
It is a comic.
I thought I got the sample and it wouldn't let me go, and I was like, maybe it's a manga, and I switched the other way. I was like, oh, it is. I kept trying for like 20 minutes. I was like,
do I need to mansplain to her that it's left to right?
I've read manga before when I was in middle school, but I didn't know that this one was in.
I didn't know you were cool like that.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
What manga did you read in middle school?
It was a love one. I don't know if you guys would know that.
Smut?
It was actually pretty big. No, it was not smut.
What was big?
It was a big book.
Nice.
Not that.
Romance manga is so good. Some of them are really good.
Yeah, I gotta find the one I was watching. It was definitely based in a cafe, but. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That can be any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
There are a lot of them.
That's narrowed down.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Shiver. We also got Back Matter Matters, the poll list, but we start with the news. Then what news you got? Any news?
Oh my gosh, so much news. Invincible Season 2.
God damn it, you
Season
stole
3.
Mine.
Sorry, wait. Oh, we'll put that out. We'll go to Serena, we'll start with you.
No!
What news
it's you got? Not even worth it at this point. Because you guys would be like, ooh, you know that? Wow.
No. From the top.
I got
ready?
Nothing else.
And Serena, what news do you have?
Rena, you got any news?
Invincible Season 3.
Let's go. Oh my God.
The trailer came out, right?
Is that what that was?
It's like a teaser that it's coming out.
Man, we're working so hard at animating this, but we had to stop so that we could animate this little thing to tell you that Season 2 is coming out.
Because that's what we do now.
And it's like, wow, there's so much in animation that you have to do, but we fully animated this for you guys.
When did they say that they were going to...
February 6th. And no mid-season breaks.
They made a big point about that, which is funny.
Yeah.
Because there was
three-month?
Four.
It was a four-month mid-season break?
Invincible was actually, it was three and a half, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But...
That'd be cool. Are you caught up with Invincible?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Good stuff.
I love Invincible.
He misses his wife and all.
I miss my wife.
What, Omni-Man?
That's cool. That's very soon. And I'm oh, dang, that's around the corner.
You know? I know.
Nathan, there's going to be a Venom frog in Venom Last Dance.
This is terrible
news.
He
hates it.
It's terrible news. He sent me the photo of the frog as soon as he saw it.
No one knew it was a horror movie.
And I'm like, yeah, it's a horror movie.
Dude,
That symbiote's getting horses. It's getting frogs.
It's getting everybody.
Terrible. Dude, a symbiote frog is so disgusting.
So goopy.
Yeah. Somebody sent me a frog video that was literally everything I hated about frogs.
Really? Was it me? Did I send it to you?
You might have sent me the same video.
Oh, okay. Not the OG sent
it. It was just a little frog. He was standing, he's staring there. The person was like, oh, what a cute little frog. It bites her and then it stops and it was like, ah, why'd you bite me? And then it jumps in her face. And I'm like, those are the two worst things that could have happened. And you can't tell if they're vibing with the person or not.
It's a jump scare in a creature.
It is a jump scare.
Nathan.
Yes.
We finally got a... some closure on all that Ice Cream Man nonsense.
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
So there's going to be Ice Cream Man issues, new issues, and then they're going to include one pagers from all those creators that they were posting.
That was kind of lame.
Yeah.
I thought they were all doing a whole story.
Nope.
A one pager?
One pager.
What's Grant Morrison going to do with one page?
Who knows?
That's crazy. Lame. Daniel, Marvel Comics unveiled its new Hawkeye, Charlie Ramsey, who's a Native American that's non-binary and identifies as Two-Spirit. I thought that was interesting.
Did Twitter have a fit about it?
I don't know. I try not to look at comments. Daniel, Charles Soule, Ryan Brown, they got a new book coming out. Did you hear about this?
No.
It's the people that made 8 billion Genies. It's called The Lucky Devils. It's going to be a 9-issue miniseries in January. And I don't really know what it's about, but they're doing something new.
Is it a spinoff of 8 Billion Genies?
No.
Okay. That's cool. Nathan, the Marvel art of Mike Allred is coming to Kickstarter.
Oh, cool.
At some point.
I like his stuff.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of X.
Statics.
X-Statics. Thank you.
Yep.
And Dupe.
And some Dupe. Yeah. So all of his 20 something years of Marvel artwork will be in there. And then he also has scanned a lot of the commissions that he's done.
Cool.
And so those would be included in there as well, which is crazy.
How do you get the commissions back?
He like scanned them before he sends them.
Oh, okay. Smart.
In case
he needs them.
In case like Laura needs to like color them or something.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice.
So yeah, pretty sweet. Look out for that.
Daniel, DC's doing web comics in a DC Go is what they're calling it, like a new initiative where they're going to do web comics formatted for mobile devices. And it's going to launch on November 20th. And they're going to start with Harley Quinn in Paradise, then Nothing But Nightwing, but it's like B-U-T-T because Nightwing has like a pretty big butt, I guess. And then
they take away his butt. So he's got a nothing butt.
He's got a nothing butt. Yeah. Whoa. And he's like, where's my butt? I got to get it back. And then Renaissance of Raven. And then they're also going to reformat existing stories to work better for mobile reading, apparently. So like All-Star Superman.
That's kind of cool.
I think that is kind of sweet. So we'll see what that looks like. Oh, also, The Many Deaths of Layla Starr. You heard of that?
Yes.
We read that book pretty good. One of our favorites, I think.
Great book.
It's going to be adapted into an opera.
Mmm. Yeah, I saw that.
The first thing like that, I think, to ever happen. I don't think any operas are based off comics other than that Spider-Man one.
Dude, let's go to the opera.
Dude.
That'd be so sick.
You go to the opera with your bros? Yeah, that book's fucking...
Nathan.
Yeah.
Coming on Disney Plus. Iron Man and His Awesome Friends. It's like a preschool.
Dude, let's go. Show. Wait, is that the Hulk as Iron Man?
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. I
love Hulk as Iron Man.
Looked adorable. Coming summer really 2025.
I sort of think I really freaking like Disney Plus.
Disney Junior and Disney Plus. Like Disney Plus. Yeah, Tony Stark, Ironheart, and Iron Hulk.
Love Iron Hulk. That's awesome.
Which is madness.
That is insane. That man don't need a suit. Serena, do you know Crypto the Superdog is?
No.
It's Superman's dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's going to be in a new Superman movie. Do you see this?
Dude, that's not even the right kind of dog.
What do you mean?
That's definitely an Alan Tudyk voiced dog.
No.
That's a white Mexican dog. No,
Crypto doesn't even talk, bro. Krusty.
Crypto's a crusty white dog.
Yeah.
Listen, I think it works. I think it being a scruffy white dog is cool because he's a bit of an outcast. And who's other than Superman? So it's not
isn't
even
Crypto like kind of like a white?
He's like a white lab.
White lab, yeah.
I don't know. Let's get into the book that we read this week. Which is what, Serena?
Shiver.
Forgot. Bye. Pop quiz. Who's a bite? Oh, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yikes. Sorry.
Junji Ito.
Yeah.
He's like a pretty famous manga horror guy.
Pretty fucking crazy.
Pretty fucking crazy.
What'd you think, Rena?
You know, pretty fucking crazy. It is I don't know. Like, this, like, I like how there's different stories in this one book. Like, it wasn't just one story. Yeah, that's what I thought initially. I thought all this shit happened just in one story.
Yeah.
And I was like, just by the cover.
Yeah.
So when I saw that it wasn't, I was pleased. That it wasn't.
It's very pleased.
Very pleased. Oh, yes. Very pleased. But yeah.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah. I think some of them are more scary than like others.
Alexa, shut up.
Go ahead. Afraid AI.
Yeah. Alexa makes random...
It thinks you're talking
about... Sorry.
Alexa, shut up. Don't listen to Nathan ever.
Alexa always listens to me.
I know we're talking to things.
We got a fourth guest on this podcast, which is... I'm just
You got to spell it out.
Anyway, what were you going to say? Some of them like feel like goosebumps, and some of them...
Yeah.
Are the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Exactly.
There's literally
it's a great range.
There's a panel.
We have to talk about which one you guys like the most at the end.
I have, of course, a favorite and least favorite one, and they're the same one.
Bruh.
My favorite, because it actually make me cringe at like how disgusting it was.
Yeah.
And ooh, that's why it's my favorite.
I know which one you're talking
favorite.
About.
I gagged.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We know.
So
did you like this, Aiden?
Most of them are pretty good, yeah.
I think the one that you're talking about reminds me of a story that happened in our family.
Yes. Similar. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dana will remember.
I also had a lot of thoughts during reading this manga, and I was like, I hope I remember them all when I come on, so hopefully I do.
Gotta write them down.
Yeah, I know.
That's okay.
You didn't take notes?
I didn't. I never take notes. I always read it like...
Mental notes.
Off the dome?
The day of.
Yeah, no, I like this a lot. I liked them all a little bit in different ways.
There's one
I like some more than others, of course.
There's only one that I like didn't like.
I love Junji Ito's like art.
Yeah, he's so good.
Even just like his normal shit, I'm like, he just draws really well.
Yeah, he does.
And then the scary shit, I'm like, this man is sick. Mm-hmm. He's a sick man.
I'm like, who thinks of this?
Right.
I also like that there's little passages between each one. He's like, this is why I thought of this. I wanted to figure out how to make this work.
Oh, yeah. I skipped that completely.
It's actually really interesting.
I bet it is.
Like the Shiver one specifically, he's like, I learned this. And I'm like, that's crazy. What if a person did that?
Yeah.
And then it's like him talking
about
it.
It's really interesting. I took the time to read it.
Yeah.
These all flow like super well, I think. Like none of the, in my opinion, I don't think any of them like really drag. Like it seems like they move pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think that's the case because
it's like
all the like build-ups kind of in the beginning. And so by the time it would get kind of old, that's when like freaky shit starts happening.
So you see like the worst thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah,
it is. What I thought was interesting is like last book we read last Halloween, it wasn't really that scary to me, but this one like kind of like
ooh, another set anthology, off yeah,
freaky shit, yeah,
yeah.
Is this the scariest book we've ever read, Nathan?
Dude, easily.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's all I was looking for.
Yeah, I don't.
We should watch do Terrifier next Halloween.
Terrifier comic.
There's apparently a Terrifier comic.
Yeah. It's just the first movie in a comic.
Still,
I haven't seen the first movie.
You never see the. It'll be new to me. Maybe the art's different. You never know.
You think art's different?
The art, not Art the Clown.
What do you mean? Oh,
art, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, art's different because the movie's not a fucking comic book. Obviously, the art's different.
But you never know.
Anyway, there's a lot of these, and I don't want to go super in depth into all of them. So I'm just gonna like say the general ideas of each one, and then we'll just talk about it.
Sure. Okay, sounds good.
So the first one's called Used Record. There's like a song on a mysterious unmarked record that causes people to like become obsessed after hearing it. And we find out that the record was from an artist that was hit by a car.
Pitbull.
But
and everyone was obsessed with it.
Yes. The artist was hit by a car but refused medical attention so that she could go record this record and then died in the process of recording it. And so now anyone that dies while in possession of the record like is able to it like sings from beyond the grave after they like die and the next person like picks it up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that become like super obsessed with like how rare it is and whatnot.
Yeah. Like random guys will know it.
Yeah. Be like, oh, that's this thing. So that's pretty much what it was.
So I'm not gonna lie. This one's pretty boring.
This one's the Goosebumps one for sure.
Yeah.
This would be a Goosebumps episode.
Yeah.
A lot of these just kind of like end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
There's some of them are very abrupt.
I'm like, there's definitely more to this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like that the recording artist for the record does like a whiplash. They like get into a car accident and they're like, I gotta go play music. You
know? Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fucking Damien Chazelle or whoever did the Whiplash movie just
I think this is a good like starter.
It's a good starter one, yeah.
You know, because if you get straight into it, you know, I think it's got to kind of ebb and flow, like a good mixtape. You know?
Yeah, I think it does do that because the second one of this is like, I think one of the top three easily.
Yeah.
But
it definitely sets you up for the rest of the book. It kind of like gives you what it's going to be like for the rest. Like,
yeah, every story. I also just hate music in comics.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's just a lot of like la, 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 do, be, do, wah, you know, and it's just like a lot of that.
It's jazz.
I know it's like supposed to be jazz, but like, how am I supposed to like interpret that, you know? So you get a feel for Junji Ito's art. It's like a little fucked up because like a kid dies in it.
Yeah.
And then they just like...
A girl like kills her friend.
Yeah. And then just like covers him with like a sheet. So it's a little fucked up. But, I mean, that was pretty much everything I had to say about that one.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So then Shiver is the next one. And it's about this kid, Juji, I think is what I wrote. He lives next to a girl with like a serious illness. And it's like craters are opening up in her skin. And it's Yuji. And the same thing happens to Yuji's grandfather. And after reading his journals after he dies, he discovers that there's a mysterious doctor that treated both Yuji's grandfather and the girl that he knows. And that there's this like jade statue that the doctor's like looking for. And so Yuji's friend finds the jade, then gets holes in his skin, saying that he's like shivering because of all the cold air that's like going through the craters in his skin. And he mentions the jade is a curse. And Yuji's friend Hideo dies. And then the jade is like stolen. Or it's gone. That's pretty much what happens in this one. This one's awesome because it is disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not only like the the idea of like holes in your skin, like that's kind of a creepy thought, but the way that he draws it, mm-hmm. there's like depth to these craters and you could feel around in there. It feels like,
yeah.
And that's what kind of grosses me out about it.
Yeah. Like these is not like exist. Cause like these people would be like dead, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like it invokes the tryptophobia, which is like what this is like.
He was ahead of
poking
it.
At. Yeah.
He knew tryptophobia before it was cool.
Definitely.
But this is like really good body horror.
Like mm-hmm. page like 70, I think it is in your book, was like an actual jump scare for me.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck? Because I was just like swiping.
Was that on his friend? Yeah. And this one sucks because his eye is like falling out of his socket.
Yeah.
It is just so, it's so creative.
This actually like raises my heart rate looking at this shit.
Yeah, it is pretty disgusting. Really?
Yeah, I'm like actually like, the fuck, dude? And I like don't. Maybe I don't you do like have
trypophobia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
After seeing this, I'm like, no fucking way.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty gross.
Sometimes, if like in certain parts of your skin, if you're like tattooed for like a long time, your pores will start to open up like a little bit, and it's super fucking gross.
So you could see them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't there like a medical condition where not like craters like that, but like something like. I don't know. I feel like there's an actual medical. Yeah, I think I've seen it before.
Is it called the shiver virus?
Maybe.
Well, don't look it up because I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I swear I've seen it before, but.
I also think it's creative that it's called shiver because, like, I just like the idea that they're colder, super cold because all the air that's, like, going in, like, their skin because all the fucking SpongeBob holes they got.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get tryptophobia from this plant?
No.
No?
Let me see.
This is supposed to be, like, like a trigger kind of thing for. Tryptophobians.
I mean, I wouldn't touch it.
I can see why, but it's fucking I'm not gross. Scared.
I think it's a little. I mean, I don't know how else you would do it, but chalking it up to like a curse was like, okay, yeah, sure. You know, you kind of have to just go with it.
It's it could have like been like a worm that something. Just like eats through you or something.
True.
Yeah,
like an that would have been sick.
I kind of like this because it's like an instant kind of thing, you know? Because the neighbor, she's like healed or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then she doesn't have the holes or anything. And then, you know, they're able to figure out where it came from and shit like that. So, mm-hmm.
yeah, but there's so many just fun panels to look at because of how detailed he goes into the craters. So,
yeah. And then like, so the doctor is like, that's in this, he's like obsessed with this thing, mm-hmm. the jade for some reason. And I don't know why, because he was like clearly it was in like the neighbor's yard or whatever. That's why she had it.
Yeah.
And he just would like visit her mm-hmm. a lot, almost as if she was like, he was like treating her.
Yeah.
But maybe he was just also looking for the jade the whole time.
Yeah, that's one of the things is like he introduces a lot of these kind of scary ideas, but you don't really know what these people are about a lot of the time. It just like will end. It's like, oh, that doctor was weird.
Then again, like I guess I don't.
You don't need
everything to be explained, you know? So
yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, I think this one's one of the better ones for sure. Just
I think he tries to leave it up to your imagination almost.
Yeah. Like it's kind of scarier when you don't know.
Yeah.
Because. I mean, how many horror movies do you watch where it's like some sort of killer or whatever? And then when you find out who he is, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're good. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how Malignant was, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like once I knew what it was, I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Let's get through this.
Yeah. Definitely. So. I agree.
But this is one of the ones that I really liked the author's commentary because this is one where he like he heard about a species of bug that has like holes on the sides of its abdomen and that's how it like breathes and stuff.
Fuck that.
And he was like, oh,
what kind did you say?
He'd be some sort of insect. I learned that they have the holes on the sides of their abdomen called spiracles. And I wondered if I couldn't use that in a manga. But he was just kind of like looking at a book on insects to get like practice on drawing them, I guess. And that's how he learned about it.
Mm.
So it's kind of cool that he just like just living life. And he's like, that'd be fucked up if this happened.
Yeah.
I just kind of like that idea.
He definitely like seems like he executes on like, or he'll like just move forward with the smallest idea.
And he's like, let's make this work.
And still able to like pull something off in like a 30 pager.
I think that's cool though. Cause I mean, this next one's wild. It's called Hanging.
This one is wild.
Sorry, I was getting ahead of myself. The one after this, Hanging Blimp. That is like the loosest idea I think he had. And he's just like, let me figure out how to make this work. And I think it was pretty cool. But yeah, next one's called Fashion Model.
It is an illness.
What? The holes?
Holes.
Let me see.
I can't. I don't know. Let me see. Look at the images.
Yeah, images. Yeah, don't show Daniel.
I can't do it. Like when
how
I'm
many
like,
holes?
When I'm looking at those panels
don't show Daniel.
For long enough, like I feel it in my spine.
No, don't show.
Like that's what I envisioned in my head.
Oh, that's actually gross.
Yeah. It's a real thing. I swear to God, I was like, I swear that was it. Please look.
It actually.
I don't want to look.
It actually looks like.
Wait, say.
Just like a quick look.
Maybe it'll cure
quick
it.
Look, quick
maybe
look.
It'll cure it.
Whoa, no.
That actually looks like the manga.
Here, I'll show.
His hand's like coral, dude.
Dude, does he get cold with all the cold air that goes through
his
pores?
I told you. God. I learned disgusting. This somewhere in school when I was like, that's fucked.
And what kind of school are you going to?
But obviously that one's the more most intense one. All yeah. these other ones are like...
Moving on.
They look like dead skin, but anyways.
Next one, Daniel's called Fashion Model.
This one is much better.
Yeah.
This one's not scary at all.
This one doesn't scare me that much.
I actually thought this one was scary.
This one... This is interesting, but basically it's about...
It's unsettling
this,
for sure.
It's about this dude named Iwasaki. He's like a movie scriptwriter that is getting haunted by a strange model that he found in like a magazine that has a scary face. He's basically body shaming her because he's like, why is this chick a model?
She kind of looks like the nun in The Conjuring.
Yes.
That just kind of reminds me of her.
I think that Junji Ito...
The grandma on the visit.
I think that Junji Ito just thinks that people without eyebrows are scary.
Pretty and, scary, honestly.
And dark eyes.
Yeah.
Or like dark... Whatever around your eyes.
Skinny facial structure.
Yeah.
Is the visit good?
It's good.
I thought it was pretty good.
Is that the grandma one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the one where like they drop off their kids and then like ended up not being like their grandparents?
And she's like,
yeah.
Can you clean the Han oven for me? And then she like locked him in the oven.
That's like a joke.
To heat her up.
It was a meme.
Oh.
Just a joke, bro.
Yeah.
What did she say?
She like was cleaning the house and she was cleaning it and she was like, oh, honey, can you clean in the oven for me, like I can't bend over and like I can't do it, whatever. She's like, yeah. And so she like, it was kind of a deep oven, so when she like got deep enough, the grandma like closed her into the oven. Yeah.
Like, really get in there.
And then like she started banging and then she like obviously opened it and she's like, oh, it was just, I don't know.
Like a little fake out.
Yeah. Kind of. It was like one of the first like scary things to happen.
I remember enjoying it. I think I saw it in theaters. Catherine Hahn is in it, which is
You should watch it. Bizarre. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, Iwasaki sees this like model. She's got a scary face. And then after he sees that, he keeps seeing her in like dreams and just random thoughts that he has that are, and this model's like getting more and more haunting, like or scary looking each time. Mm-hmm. So then him and his friends end up making a movie a little bit later on and they end up casting the same model. Her name's Fuchi. And then when filming in the wilderness, you know, Fuchi's vibes are kind of off. And Fuchi gets jealous of the main character after a while, kills her, and then grabs Iwasaki to like finally be alone with him or whatever, implying that she's actually been haunting him this whole time. And that was pretty much it. But there's a really funny scene where they're driving up to go film and she's just in the car and she's...
Yeah.
Or like heads touching the roof. And,
yeah.
And then, like they like tell a joke about her and then she's like, oh, is it a horror movie or whatever? And then she starts laughing. She has like these like... Scary teeth. Ass teeth,
like literally the worst teeth.
Yeah, yes.
Double the amount of teeth.
How
any person
is that like
have.
In your car? And you're like, yes, that's just keep like, going.
You cannot tell me that is the most unsettling thing.
That is pretty. Seen. It is pretty freaky.
Like if I saw it in my dreams, it'd be over.
This side profile is bizarre. Like that nose bridge goes straight from the forehead.
Bruh.
Yeah,
it's wild.
I thought not my nose was bad.
No. At least it'll never be Fuchi.
Literally.
And for some reason, like when she's like chasing them in like the woods, and she like lifts up her dress, and like she's she's fucking cooking.
Oh my god, that one was crazy. She's running.
I can like imagine like how quick she is. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I don't know why I could just imagine it. Especially, it just makes it even creepier that she's lifting up her dress so she can go faster.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Like some fucked up anime character.
Yes.
I also kind of like the concept of filming a horror movie. But there's like a killer that's part of the cast that's like killing the rest of the cast.
I would
watch that movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's like only like 15 minutes of footage. But then
it's like, oh,
this cast died because
the making of the movie is the actual horror.
And the fashion model's still out there.
Yeah.
You know,
or like
taking new acting jobs.
It just go. It's like clicking. They get too into the character where they like actually become the character.
Oh
that
yeah,
that would be cool. Ooh, is that not what like, you were talking
it's
about?
It's like a tragic like.
No, you're saying the person goes method.
Yeah,
and like kills the people.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I mean, that's a better idea probably. I was just thinking like the person's already a serial killer, and they're like, oh, I got cast in this movie.
Oh,
and I get to kill people.
I guess I feel like it's like the same thing. Almost.
Yeah, it could be both. I think it's kind of cool that she gets more sort of crazy looking by the end. Obviously, he's trying to ramp up the intensity of things, but like.
Yeah, and
then some of these, she's got blood all over her and stuff. Yeah. She's really freaky.
Yeah, and then like we don't know if she ever catches them, you know, and we don't know what she is or anything like that.
Yeah,
and so it's just, that's kind of one of those abrupt stops.
Yeah,
where you kind of expect.
She says, "Ho ho ho."
Yeah, ho ho ho. It does end very like abruptly, but it's just like,
yeah,
she got him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you supposed to? Yeah,
pretty much. So this next one is called Hanging Blimp.
Crazy, bro.
This one's wild. It kind of goes all over the place, but there's a popular celebrity named Terumi who hangs herself from a telephone wire, and the blame is sort of placed on her ex-boyfriend by the fans or the stands of this person. The death ends up inspiring like a mass hysteria, like claim that Terumi's head has been seen like floating around kind of like in the air, like a blimp almost. It's even caught on film and like a picture, but people are like, oh, maybe it was doctored or whatever. And then the ex-boyfriend hangs himself, causing his head to blow up into a blimp and fly away. And like the main character just sees that and is like, holy shit, that's crazy. Goes to tell her friends. And then we see balloon heads eventually appear for everybody, like in the world, like just kind of fly in and they're taking people away.
Well, like his head doesn't blow up. There's like
there's an existing head
of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that they're trying to capture. It's got like a noose.
Yeah.
Hanging from it.
And so the blimps of everybody's head is coming down and like scooping people up pretty much. Right.
Yeah.
And flying away, and they're trapping survivors into the homes and stuff until they eventually have to come out or are tricked into going out, which is what happens to the main character here. And this is definitely the most unique one.
Yeah.
Like this is the only thing.
I feel like he was high when he like did this. I feel like this is something I would come up with if I was high.
Yeah. This is like definitely the biggest like stretch of like some initial idea. And he's like, let's figure out how to make this work. Mm-hmm. But there are some really good moments in it. I feel like, I think it's interesting that if your head is ripped off in this process, then the balloon just kind of like floats around by itself. Like there's no dangling thing.
Yeah.
There's a really funny panel
when she's looking in the,
in between the buildings.
No, that one's freaky. That one freaks me out, actually. But they try to like kill the balloon and they pop one of them, and then the person's face also deflates. And I just think that this panel's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny, bro. That
It's like, I didn't expect that. And so they're like, oh, cool, they got a balloon. And then she turns to her friend and it's like, her face is all deflated.
Yeah.
I think I'm totally like reading this the way like Junji Ito wants, because like this was had like a jump scare for me where like it's like four girls and they're like, what is that in the sky? And then like you like turn the page and it's like their face is very close.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's like the speed lines and whatnot. So, you know, they're cooking.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh shit. I think this was the one where I'm like, oh, I think we should read this one. You know, like this book. Yeah. Because I didn't dig that much through the Junji Ito stuff. I just started reading this one because I heard it was like one of the better ones.
Yeah.
And so, yeah,
I think that moment in particular is really cool because they see like the four. We don't really understand how the balloons work yet or like what's going on.
Yeah.
And so when they see them off in the distance and they're just like kind of booking it towards them, and it's like, oh, fuck. They're like these their own individual thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I like read the stories, I just like think about if that happened in real life, what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I know that they're going so fast, because if they weren't going as fast, like obviously all of them can run away. Mm-hmm. But then in the other panel where like all of the people are like hung by the nooses, they were obviously like really fucking fast. Yeah, so I don't even know what I would do.
Yeah. The worst part of this whole entire anthology is when the dad's like, I'm going to go to work. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
your boss is probably dead, you know?
Like, true.
He's like, I know there's a bunch of
dead. Your customers are dead.
Yeah, I know. All of your customers are dead. Whatever you do, they're all dead.
He said, oh, I called out last week. I can't call out again.
I know. I was like, what are you fucking doing? People are dying out there. There's a balloon of your fucking face outside. You're not like worried about that? It was insane. I'm like, what is that? What are you doing?
Dad's on that grind set. Dude.
Yeah,
he is. He got his money.
He's like, someone's got to make some fucking money around here. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So that was the most insane part, but. Yeah, I think it's fucked up when they start like talking and they like talk in the voice of the person that they are like mimicking or whatever, because at the end, the main character gets tricked into like opening the window for her brother, who she thinks is going out to like get food or something. And turns out the brother's already dead, is being hung, and the blimp is the one talking to him and like goads her into opening the window. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And you know, it's probably really fun about writing these is that he just has to have like the concept, but doesn't like have to resolve it.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be like, oh, happy ending, or like, what happens now kind of thing. It's just like, that's enough, you know?
I think horror is really the only one where you could do that.
Yeah.
Like, far as like a genre. Or
anthologies.
Anthology, definitely. Yeah. But like, imagine having like a comedy anthology and you like have one good joke and then just ends, you know? Like,
that's basically what comic strips are.
I mean,
you know?
Oh, you're right.
Like, yeah. Like you can't have Garfield like a 40, or whatever.
You can't have like a 40-page comedy that's building up to like one joke and then have it end because it'd be bad, right? But I feel like in horror,
yeah, it's
like, here's the scariest idea of this thing that I thought of. We could just end it right after that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like, this is like a that. Very fun and, like vehicle for just fleshing out some ideas.
Yeah, I agree.
That probably aren't good enough to really have like a satisfying ending, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think some of these were made like into like sequels as well. I think I saw. So if an idea was good enough, then like he expanded on it a little bit, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say like even if you watch like The Quiet Place or whatever, you never know how it's going to end. You're like, how do they defeat these fucking like monsters? And mm-hmm. then like, I feel like I don't even know how you would.
What do you do? Everything's fucked.
Yeah, unless you have a fucking shotgun and there's only like a peephole where the shotgun goes in. I don't even know.
But then your face would deflate, you know?
Oh, if your face deflates, then you die?
I mean, that person wasn't looking too good when her friend's face deflated. Did you see that?
That was the funny panel that he
shows? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she like shot the balloon and then she was then, like, oh, good job, you did it. And then you don't. But
just,
I think
they just live as heads.
You just have to have like a big sun hat so the noose never goes over your neck.
Oh.
You know, and then stay in bunkers, like or basements the whole time.
You got to be one of those dudes that like don't have a neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like,
have your neck so thick.
Your neck is so thick that just the noose would just slide right off of you.
So you got to like either bulk up or like eat a lot. So you have like the double chin kind of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, yeah, nothing to hang on to.
Good idea.
It's like grabbing something in a crane that's too big.
Yeah. Or like just wear a sombrero around so the noose doesn't fit around either.
Oh, that's
or
better.
Or just be really fat so the balloon just like.
The balloon weighs down.
Yeah.
You're just walking around the balloon.
Yeah, exactly. Around your neck.
That's a good idea. You talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the ideas that I feel like only can exist as like a manga or like a comic. And I tend to like those. Because it's kind of fun to think like, what would this look like as a movie?
Yeah.
And I do not see this being.
Like, I would never see it. It just
wouldn't translate.
Yeah.
The closest possible thing would be like an episode that's like animated, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, next one, Marionette Mansion. There's this dude, Haruhiko, and his family owns like a traveling puppet show that goes across Japan. They do little puppet shows. Haruhiko's entire life becomes puppet obsessed until his father gets sick. And he starts like saying weird things like, oh, when you're a puppeteer, it's like actually the puppet's in charge of you or whatever, in charge of the puppeteers. And when Haruhiko's father dies, he leaves the whole puppet show. He gets an apartment with his sister. And after 6 years, he reconnects with his older brother, who's rich and in a mansion with a family, but they're all being controlled like they're marionettes. So they look like regular people, but they have like strings and stuff attached to all their body parts. People are controlling him from the ceiling. He has like servants. There's one of the puppets named Jean-Pierre that's also just kind of like running around for some reason. And
it's from the OG puppet show.
Yeah, from the OG puppet show.
Yeah.
And they convince Haruhiko's sister to become one because it's so great. You don't have to do anything or whatever. And then he finds out that their creepy puppet, Jean-Pierre, is controlling them. And when he destroys him, he goes back to his family and sees that they've all turned into like actual marionettes made out of wood.
So this one's a little goosebumps.
Yeah,
this one reminds me of Coraline to the T.
Oh yeah,
I haven't seen it. No spoilers.
No, shut up.
Have you not seen?
He's had 20 years to see it. Spoiler.
It hasn't been out for 20 years.
So basically, she goes into this like little hole, like door in the wall, and it goes into this alternate universe.
Yeah.
And it's where everything is perfect. The mom is perfect. The dad is perfect. She literally has a perfect life there, and like, she gets to eat whatever she wants, and like, I don't know. It's just like a perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
But all she has to do to stay in that perfect life is to have buttons on her eyes and have to be sewn in. And this just kind of like reminds me of like they're just trying to like lead them into being puppets or whatever.
Yeah.
And so because it's a perfect life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it just kind of correlated with me. I was like.
When they don't have to like move because the servants move them, I'm like, how are they not fat? You know?
Yeah.
They're not burning any calories.
Yeah, that's what. I mean, the explanation is like, oh, this Jean-Pierre puppet's controlling everything. And he's like, you know, I don't know.
He's like also controlling like the servants or whatever.
Yeah. And so, and that's why they have like this big mansion. But I'm like, how are they paying for this? You know?
Mm.
Yeah. And then like,
there's a lot that he tries to like justify how these things work. Because, like, sure. I'm sure the idea was, like, what if people were the puppets?
Yeah, because the brother has, like, a ton of questions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Naturally.
And I like how he brings up, like, you have to, like, move. Like, it's like astronauts, how they still have to, like, exercise yeah. so that yeah. their bones don't, like, dwindle.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that if Haruhiko didn't, like, step in, Jean-Pierre, like, would have worked them to that point where, like, they can't even move by themselves. And then he would have, I think that maybe that was like his ultimate revenge.
Yeah, his sister kind of got deal. Like released or whatever. Uh-huh. But like she'd only been like in control, out of control for like a couple days maybe.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I can't move.
I'm you like, know? you were just
yeah.
being chill for like a couple days. I feel like yeah. you wouldn't lose it. But
yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot that you have to accept logistically for this to like kind of work.
Like the ceiling panels?
Like the ceiling panels, I'm like, okay. Like I literally thought, I mean, you see the ceiling panels later. Like
those but have
I'm
to
like,
be strong as fuck for all these yeah, puppeteers
like
the, that are up
the
there.
The pillars have to like come down from there and like you can't see the people or whatever. And I'm like, how many people are there? I was thinking like how many people.
And they have to be hella strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're holding him from those little fucking wooden Wood cross things.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, the grip strength's got to be insane. Or there's like 100 people for each person. But yeah.
He's got like a girlfriend mm-hmm. and she like comes to the house because he sees him like through the window.
Yeah.
And Jean-Pierre
thought they're like, just cheating.
Just fucking cut her up.
That's
as if he was like shanks her as if she's in prison or something.
Yes. Yeah.
She gets stabbed like 60 times or something.
Yeah. I do like some of the, I guess, the body horror when they're like getting all twisted up and stuff in the air and they're like, something's wrong, but I can't move my body. You know, there's like some kind of cool panels with that. Like at this point when like yeah. shit's kind of hitting the fan and they like can't really escape because they're marionettes now.
I thought it was funny though.
Yeah, it is funny. Cause it's like, you put yourself here. What did you think was going to happen? And, when that girlfriend gets stabbed and she's also kind of hooked up as a
crazy.
Marionette.
I did not expect that.
I think like, Heath had this idea in his head and he's like, okay, how do I get here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, at the end,
just kind of everything else.
Mm-hmm. And then like, there's nothing, no gap in my mind that can jump to like, oh, they're like wooden puppets now.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe like the puppeteers were able to make them seem more lifelike, you know?
No.
Or something like that. I know. But like.
Some kind of curse thing. Or,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. But I also don't really buy that the family is able to convince Haruhiko's sister to just give up her life and become a marionette, you know?
Well, the sister's like...
It took like two dinners.
The sister's like 14 or something.
Yeah, I know. But
so they're very persuasive.
And like, well, they have like dancers and stuff. And they're like, oh, you basically can be a dancer and not have to learn anything.
Except you're not doing your own dancing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a cool idea if the people that were controlling the other people were like corpse. Like that, and they were there for so long that like they just think that they're real people. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, and then like one day they actually wake up and they're a corpse. Like they're just playing with corpse. I feel like that would be cool. I feel like it's a good idea. But
yeah, that's
like,
there's definitely something there.
You're saying like the family's already dead, but the marionettes are so good at their job or whatever.
No, kind of like.
Like that would work too. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like
it could have gone either of those ways.
Yeah. Someone just like Weekend at Bernie's, but puppets.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, kind of interesting. I don't know. Puppets themselves can be kind of creepy.
Yeah, definitely.
But they have their, you know, their own like aesthetic style that I think he does pretty well. Like he's pretty good at making people seem pretty wooden just by like how he details them. And
yeah.
In reality, it's just like a bunch of scribbles, but you can tell what he's going for.
The sharp lines.
Yeah, too. Exactly.
So. I also thought it was interesting to see like the people actually like
controlling them.
Yeah, because they all look like, I don't know. They look crazy. Insane. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh man, we gotta.
They just kick them off.
And then I think about like, they have to jump around Jesus like these little panels. Christ. So I'm like, what if one of them slips?
Yeah.
That's tragic.
They just all look.
Then these people can't use like their right arm.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's weird. But next one is called Painter.
So this one relates to another Junji Ito book that's like as big as Uzumaki.
Really?
It's called Tomie or something like that. Or Tomie.
Tomie?
I don't know.
I think it's Tomie.
And so I like looked it up. I'm like, should I read that first before reading this one or something? You know, but I guess Reddit's like, nah, it's fine. Because like Tomie's also like an anthology book, but it's all based around her.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like an Ice Cube Man-esque thing.
Right.
And that's one of his better, like top two kind of books.
This one's not interesting to me that much, but
no.
I think it's just part or like, yeah, I guess it's just part of something else and I didn't realize, but
yeah, it's probably like more of a callback to for fans and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So basically it revolves around this famous painter who paints like models. His name is Mitsuo, and he's at an like exhibition thing showing off his art when a girl named Tomei says that his model is like pretty mid, and she's like, you should model me instead because I'm hotter. And so he's like, okay. So Mitsuo does paint her, but Tomei isn't like happy with the results and then leaves. But then Mitsuo becomes obsessed with her and he's like, I gotta find this girl again, I gotta try again, make her, you know, make a painting that is to her liking or whatever. And then he finds out that one of his artist friends is using her as a model but taking pictures of her. And he finds a photo that was taken of her that's like all creepy and has this like blurry second face that's like a part of it. So Mitsuo gets her back, ends up painting that sort of second face looking thing. Tomei laughs at it again. And then Mitsuo just kind of beats her to death and dismembers like all of her limbs and shit. And then the separated limbs start to grow into new versions of Tomei, like little clone people.
Yeah. It is also like,
that's pretty much it.
Did you mention like the sculptor?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so there's like a sculptor that was like sculpting her for a while, mm-hmm. but then he like goes to her house and there was just like hundreds of sculptures of her that were all like destroyed because I guess he couldn't
like get it.
He couldn't get it either.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he was just about to like kill her, like had her tied up or something.
Right. Yeah, she's pretty picky.
Yeah, she's super full of herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one I think is just kind of rehashing a couple of the same ideas, or like, you know, someone interacts with something and then they become really obsessed about it to the point where it like kind of takes over. I see that. I feel like we just see that a couple of different times throughout this. So I was like, okay, this one's just about a person, I guess. But I do like the painting that he ends up making of her because I just think that that's drawn really well. But yeah. The one where it's like kind of like half of her face kind of coming off of her.
Like a conjoined twin kind of thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you think those bodies turn into people and then they just continue this with other artists?
I think that's probably
forever.
I think that's probably what the Tomei book is maybe about.
Probably.
But I think it's funny when like a new person's growing like out of an arm and it's just like a little meh.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much that one.
Not what to say.
Yeah. That one's
pretty self-explanatory.
Not super crazy. But yeah, the next one's called The Long Dream. This one actually kind of fucked me up mentally. Yeah. So I like this one, but it's set in a hospital. Dr. Kuroda is treating Tetsuro, who has nightmares that are perceived to be getting longer within his dreams with each sleep. But there's only actually like one night that passes by. And his dreams start by being like a month long, but eventually they stretch to entire years or even lifetimes that he's like experiencing with one sleep. And so Tetsuro, like at one point, even confuses a patient that he's met, you know, in real life as his wife from his dream that he's like been married to for like 50 years. And so he starts to like lose concept of reality because of how much he's experiencing in his dreams. And he then has a dream that lasts pretty much like a millennia, which causes Tetsuro to just shatter into crystals that the doctor then injects into another patient to study. And that's kind of like the twist.
And when he's like waking up each time, his like body is like aging.
It's
in a way. And he's like, he has like this kind of mega mind kind of brain to where like his brain is like consuming the things that he's like,
it's retaining all the information.
Right.
Yeah.
And he just looks fucking.
Yeah. This gross. Is horrifying to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
He's like losing hair and shit.
Like, and I just think that the idea of like being scared to go back to sleep, because then you're just going to like more and more lose concepts of reality. Like being scared to go to sleep, I think is scary to me because I love to sleep.
Yeah.
And when you don't get sleep, you get even more hallucinations. So it's a lose-lose situation for him.
Yeah, like, definitely. Like, you know, you wake up.
He doesn't like, even like seem rested when he wakes up.
No, he does. Yeah. Wow, I'm exhausted. Because like, I think most of them are like nightmares pretty much.
Imagine like you go to sleep and you work like an 8-hour day and then you wake up.
And just go back to work.
Or like, imagine just like living like 3 years and then you wake up and you're like, all right, time to run it back in 18 hours when I have to go to sleep again. You know, it's insane. But like
his, I think his longest dream is like 1,000 hours or something, you know?
No.
Or 1,000 years.
Yeah, like 1,000 years, yeah.
And then it gets to a point where he goes to sleep and he dies, but to him, it's like a dream that's like infinite.
Yeah, like never ended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever hear of like that theory with like dying, that like there's some sort of chemical in the brain that's could be released to where like you're almost tripping and it's almost like a trip that like kind of doesn't end from your perspective?
Sounds cool.
Yeah, but like could happen in like an instant, like a second,
right?
So almost to the person who's dying, it isn't like you ever die, really. Mm-hmm. Like your brain doesn't die, even though physically you
I feel like if that was something that was real,
I hope that's how it goes. That'd be cool.
Someone would have made it into like a drug or something already.
DMT.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually, we were talking about this in my class.
What class?
I'm taking like this.
How to do drugs?
No. About like dying and stuff. Like we were talking about like healing, death and dying and all that shit.
Yeah.
And I thought about like how, isn't it a thing to where when someone is about to die, they have this boost of like, adrenaline, but it's like some type of thing where it makes you feel like you're normal again, but then like doctors know that you're gonna die like basically the next day.
Yeah, they do that in Grey's Anatomy all the time. Yeah. Like where they're like,
they feel like they're fine.
Their body is shutting down,
yeah.
But there's like this almost like second wind kind of thing that you get to where it almost seems like you're fine.
But in reality, it's some sort of like catatonic shock or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes you seem normal. It feels like you're normal.
And you're like, oh, I'm good, actually. I'm going to leave.
But doctors know that like after that, you're going to die.
You're
like,
fucked. Wow. I never heard about that.
Really? Terminal lucidity.
Maybe. Oh.
That also
phenomenon occurs when a dying person who may have been unresponsive or unconscious suddenly becomes clear-minded, alert, and communicative.
Can you imagine?
Do they look like this? This is my favorite panel of the entire
time. I hate that one.
Imagine if you had that many double chins. Like,
it just reminds me of like the meme where it's like, when you nut but she keeps sucking or whatever. Like, like
that's actually
just turning the page and just seeing that, I'm like, it was kind of funny actually.
And then it's so crazy because he keeps deteriorating at that point.
Yeah.
And it's nuts.
Because I think like the scariest form is this one where he just has a big brain. And so I just like the idea of Junji Ito being like, okay, this is not final form. He needs to look even more fucked up. Mm-hmm. And he just comes up with this weird mega mind with like 100 chins, you know? And it's just kind of funny to me.
I love how he draws like a scared face.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
Awesome.
The intensity that he's able to convey, I think, is really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He draws everyone with a big mouth.
Yeah. I like when he like starts to crumble as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of fucked up.
Yeah, this one mentally like is fucked up.
Yeah, I just like hate thinking about it. So I think this one's one
it's
of the
like
better ones.
Mind
for sure.
Horror or something? Like it's not body horror, but it's like
psychological.
Mind, psychological
horror.
Better word.
I just don't like any of these ideas that he's expressing.
Yeah, this book makes you feel so uncomfy.
Yeah.
I want a copy.
I think I took a break after I think I took a break after that one. I was like, okay, I need to walk away for a bit.
Yeah, these are tough to just like shotgun.
Yeah. I shotgun like
I
half
did
of
it all
once.
Today.
You're like, read,
you did it all today?
I told you on Sunday.
No, I know, but I like to do it before so I have a fresh memory.
True.
And I know like
I guess you did have like comments. All day or whatever.
I always do it the day that we have the podcast because I know I have stuff to talk about that I think of when I'm reading.
Right.
And so I usually remember it when it's the day of. So.
Yeah, because I read the first four like a couple months ago when I was like scouting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember.
We had to make sure we had a good one. So anyway, next one's called Honored Ancestors. And it's about Risa, who is a girl that lost her memories and she's trying to like get grounded with reality again or whatever. And her fiance from before she lost her memories trying to take care of her, bring her back home. The fiance's father is like very sick and adamant that they like get married and like produce a kid right away. And the fiance's like, chill out, dad. She doesn't have any memories or whatever. But right before the father does end up dying, it's revealed that he's like this weird caterpillar monster.
He like connects to a caterpillar monster.
He connects to like a caterpillar monster that is actually just like a long line of like ancestor skulls. And
like scalps too, like their like skin and hair.
Yeah, it's like the top, like above the eyebrow kind of stuff. And it's like killing him, which is why the fiance dude wants to have a baby so that they can continue the sort of the genetic line. And all of these skulls are like actual ancestors, and they're like autonomous, like thoughts and memories and stuff.
Yeah, like their brains are still alive somehow.
Yeah, like they all connect through this weird fucked up caterpillar monster.
And then the like living relative, I guess. The living relative that like can access their memories and their thoughts and stuff. And so like when the fiance is like has to like get Risa, like he can hear like all of his ancestors, like his uncles and shit being like, get her or whatever. Yeah.
And so Risa runs, but she kind of goes into shock. And then the fiance caterpillar dude says that the family is safe for another generation.
Yeah. She goes into implies, like such shock that she forgets everything again.
Yeah. Which implies that this has been this has happened before. But like, it also implies, because he's like, oh, the family's safe for another generation. Like, he's going to like have his way with her, which is insane.
Right.
So that part of it's like super dark. But visually, I have questions.
Sure.
Is it like the mother and the father that are part of this caterpillar or the centipede?
I guess it's just whatever first like air basically is produced, because there is like ants and stuff in this. It seems like it's only like a father and son thing, but then they mentioned that there's like grandmothers and stuff in there.
Do they all individually move around, or is it the one guy at the end walking like crab walking that's moving it? Because it looks like little centipede legs are on each one.
Maybe. I like how they all have the same hair.
They do all have the same hair. I don't really understand. I think that it just replicates whatever hair you have, maybe, because it's all like the exact same hair, you know?
Perhaps.
But like seeing this page where it was like revealed and it's just like this big long line of skulls and it's all like kind of tangled up and shit, I'm like, wow, this is a crazy idea.
Like, who the fuck comes up with that?
Who thinks of this and is like, oh, I could draw that, you know?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I'd love to see like sketches of like kind of how this came together and like his first couple ideas, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like when the fiance dude's like chasing after her, but he has to like do this weird crab walk.
That one was scary.
Like this sequence of pages where he's like chasing after is really crazy.
I like when like the dad like comes in the room just to say hi before he dies. He like his like legs are like pulling him in.
Yeah.
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 And like, yeah, dude.
It is gross. But I think this one has like one of the better examples of like tension being built up in like a pretty effective way, because you don't really know what's going on most of the time. There's like weird stuff that's happening, but not weird enough to be like, I gotta get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
And then it like you really earn the payoff when you see this like big crazy fucking monster, and then it elevates, I feel like.
Like the red flags are there, but not enough to leave.
Yeah. You know? For it to like not be dumb that like you haven't left already.
Right.
So pretty wild.
I also like this page of art. I feel like the darkness really sets it's unsettling.
Mm-hmm. I think for a black and white comic, feels pretty colorful.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Color necessarily.
Like he's really able to like direct focus like pretty expertly, I would say. He uses like those sort of gray colors very well to like focus your attention.
I think maybe this last one is like the only one that I think would benefit from color.
Yeah, because he describes the color of things
right
in the last one.
Like Like you guys are talking about like the cover of this, and I didn't really look at the cover. And so these are all very like shocking to me. Like the reveal of like the monster or whatever. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
I don't think the cover is really a spoiler, because you don't really know what you're comprehending.
Yeah.
True.
You know, because like, I mean, the cover involves aspects of all of it, but I'm not looking at like the centipede guy and I'm like, oh, I wonder when that's going to show up, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was all one thing. I was like, how are you going to do all this in one thing?
That'd be crazy.
How are you going to do a blimp guy and a guy with holes in his face and a big centipede?
And then what's that girl for? Like, what? Yeah.
The manga's cool because they always have like a colored cover, you know? And so you kind of can see what it looked like if it was like animated or whatever, or if the whole thing was colored.
Yeah.
Something I hate is when I'm picturing a certain girl's like hair color, but then like colored version, it's like a completely different color.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's brown.
Like she's a redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I could, like, if I looked at one of the pages, I could be like, oh yeah, that's beige. And that's like, you know what I mean? Like you hair could just color. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or like hair color?
Or no, just, like, just general? Just like the, like what you think like the building would be. I feel like it's like white and beige. Like really?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Bland colors. And then I bet like they're really vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know.
Or like the color like maybe of his shirt where it's like this checkered sweater thing.
Exactly.
It's
you can like, just kind of like.
It's probably green.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think that, but it feels right. Anyway, last one, Greased. My favorite and least favorite one.
Really?
I hated this one, bro.
This one
hits different if you have like made bacon in like a pan and
this
you've
one
cleaned bacon.
Is disgusting both visually and how he describes the situation.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I read this one on a plane and I showed Sarah like the worst panel. Yeah. You know?
The worst panel. We all know.
And I'm like, ew, look it.
And it's
she's like, what are you reading?
It's like a fucking attack, dude. It's crazy. Okay, but let's get it. So it's about this girl, Yui, who lives above like this barbecue restaurant that her father owns. And she lives there with her brother. The shop and the home is like constantly covered in like oil and grease from the lack of ventilation from the restaurant. And it sort of creates this like terrible living condition where like everything's kind of greasy all over the walls, all over the floor, all over the furniture.
All the clothes,
always greasy. Yui's brother becomes addicted to drinking oil. Disgusting. And is
gross.
Shocked. And the brother's shocked that he's like getting acne.
And getting fat.
You know? And getting fat. And then he gets bullied at school, which makes him violent at home with the dad and with Yui. And then Yui eventually has like greasy nightmares where like even in her nightmares, everything's all greasy. The stuff that she enjoys is like all greasy, like looking at the mountains and walking around the city and stuff. It's just all covered in oil and grease. And when she wakes up from her nightmares, she finds her dad force feeding her oil, which is gross. And the twist at the end is that he is using human oily flesh for his barbecue business. He like cuts off his own leg and it's like, oh, it's all oil.
He was like, he like cooked like his brother.
Yeah.
And then he was trying to cook his daughter.
Yeah.
And it, what sucks is like, when he does that, his restaurant gets more popular.
Yeah.
You know?
People are like, this is really fucking good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the worst possible thing you've ever seen.
Yes.
And we should pull it up and then we all should show each other.
We all know. I mean, for me, it's two panels that are disgusting, but I'll do the worst one. You have
three.
It?
Three.
Right.
What if we all have different ones? That'd be so funny.
I'd be
no
shocked
way.
If you guys...
All right, ready?
All right, wait, three, two, one.
Go.
There it is.
Oh my God.
The worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
The
I almost
amount
gagged.
Of detail is unsettling, bro.
I almost gagged. I also really fucking hate this panel right before that when it's like about to bust.
I like when they
because he's got so like he's
look when they like swirl up.
That's such a horrible detail.
Wait, can we talk about how this relates to our family?
Yeah, Dan, you want to share the story? Because you lived this.
So Carter had this mean zit on his face. I can't remember if it was like in between his eyebrows or on his forehead.
But it was like he was chugging oil.
Yeah.
I think it was on his forehead.
That shit was locked and loaded. It was ready to go. And I'm like, dude, I have to get it. Like, you can't go another day. And I pushed him up against the wall. So I had something to push up against. And I like went up to his face, got my two strongest thumbs, and I like squeeze it. But I didn't think about projectile.
You didn't think about the defense mechanism.
Yeah. And so when I got it like first squeeze and it shot onto my face.
Ew.
And I was like, ah! And like ran to the bathroom to get it off because that thing was juicy.
Yeah.
And it was ready.
Shit was foul.
That is so gross.
But I
still love like pimple popper videos.
Yeah.
Even after this?
Yeah.
Dude, I want to show this to Sophia so she stops popping my pimples, dude.
Because
this is disgusting. Like this panel is such good tension building because I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen? Because like that shit's locked and loaded.
Yeah. I feel he a little woozy.
He knows that he has this move where he can fucking squeeze his face and shoot all this pus at you.
Signature move.
Because they're all ready to pop.
God, it's just so much.
It's so foul.
It's not just like one little...
It's just like fatality know. Move.
Have y'all
it's gross.
Had, like, a
it looks like
that
soft
that,
serve, dude.
That, like shot out.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I remember I told you I had that one on my lip and there was like three in one. And Whoa. So I had to pop it three times and they all shot out.
Oh,
it was
I'm so
horrible.
Jealous.
Dang.
It was horrible.
Semi-automatic.
It was very satisfying. But I was like, that's fucking nasty.
I like the ones that like get on the mirror. You know?
That's what happened, bro. I was really up in the mirror. Like,
this one had like sound effects. Like there's one that's like, it's like pew.
Oh, yeah. Pew
that's
is
foul.
Pew is really funny. I do remember seeing
or
that.
In the back here, there's one where it's like.
Or even this one when. When she literally has her mouth open.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you got to close it. Or like when she's in her dreams, right? Or
the little like, psk.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's a good sound effect.
Yeah, as if it's like a pipe that's about to burst. Dude,
when she's in her dream and the volcano or whatever explodes all the grease and she opens her mouth and that shit gets in there, ew. Dude.
Yeah.
She's swimming in this. It is like, just the whole thing is awful. Like, this is a great one to like end on as well. But yeah, like,
I was like, thank God it's over.
And like, I just hate the idea of sitting on like oily furniture and shit.
Yeah.
Like just terrible living condition. Like
when Sarah makes bacon, she'll make like a whole cookie sheet full of bacon. You know, yeah. She'll cook like a whole pack and then it like drips through like this like grate kind of thing she sets it on. And then it gets on to the pan regardless of like if there's like aluminum foil or anything.
Yeah.
And,
like, it'll go through anything.
And you can't let that get into like your drain or whatever. So you have to like scrape it off and then you can like try and wash it, but it still feels like it's still on there.
You wash it until you feel like
Hands like three times, but you still feel kind of like greasy. Yeah. And it's like the worst.
Imagine that's your existence.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. I can't eat bacon for that.
Imagine trying to sleep in like the bed you're in is like greasy.
Yeah.
I just hate feeling oily too. Even oil or like.
I love
like,
a shower.
Greasy hair.
Yes, yeah. We love a good shower.
But a shower would do them all well.
Or when you, I washed my hair today because it was literally so greasy that my hair was like separating and I was like,
man, you were like Yui in this comic.
Yeah, I know, bro.
Can you imagine the people that like just like never wash their hair? Like they just rinse it.
Did you know Jackson never like shampoo or conditions his hair?
What the fuck?
He just waters it. And then
I mean, I get why, and I guess it technically is like a healthier thing because the hair just produces its own oils.
It's the thing that you have to wash your hair, but not every day. Right. Like, he took it to another extent where he never washes his hair.
Some people don't like shower like ever. Or, like they don't like fully, use like soap and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mila Kunis.
Foul, bro. I love a good shower. Like
disgusting.
Ooh. Yeah.
So
there's a weird element in this as well, where like Yui becomes like a oil moisture detector, and at like any moment she's like, "Man, there's like 60% oil in here or whatever."
In like the air.
In
like
the air.
Like the air feels oily,
and she's like, she becomes a detector for that, and she's like able to accurately say it, I guess. And I'm like, this is a little weird. I don't think we needed that necessarily, but
yeah, like the dad always looks like sweaty, but it's like sweat mixed with like
with grease
that's just on his skin. Of course he has a wife beater on though.
Oh yeah.
The greasiest thing to wear.
Yeah. The slick back hair.
If you're going to be greasy, you better be wearing a wife beater.
Yeah.
So yeah, this one's the best one, but also the worst one because fuck that.
You thought it was the best one?
I did, yeah. It's the one that gave me the most reaction.
Yeah.
Of like,
yeah,
I can't handle it, you know, so it's awesome. So that's pretty much it. I counted this bonus story as like back matter.
Yeah, that's good.
So we'll get into that real quick. Let's get into back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
So it's like a small like 5 or 6 page backup story called Fashion Model Cursed Fame.
Cursed frame.
Yep, you're right. And we bring back Fuchi, the monster girl, which is cool. She makes a comeback. And basically, she just, like, kills another, like, beginner model that was, like, body-shaming Fuchi.
Yeah. She, like, has this weird phobia thing of her whole body being shown in, like, a frame or something.
No, she doesn't like it when parts of her body are cut off. But she's good with full body pictures.
Okay.
And like, I think he was trying to figure out how that works to like cut off actual pieces of her body, which is why it ends in this way with like parts of her body dismembered, but fit in like a frame of like tape on the ground or whatever.
Yeah. It's like her weird phobia just like being realized.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, my limbs are being cut off
for this picture. Is that like a real phobia?
No. You think?
Okay.
Probably not.
He's just making up phobias.
He's just like making up some sort of idea.
I think anything could be a phobia, to be honest.
Yeah.
I guess. But this would be a phobia that like develops within like the last couple decades for sure.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. We see Fuchi come back. She looks even more fucked up and she's got even more teeth. But pretty good. But that's pretty much it. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Should have thought about this.
I would rate it a large boba.
Large boba?
A large boba drink.
Ew, after that grease, I can't.
After that grease and after that holy shiver one, I think it works because it looks like the drink has holes, but tapioca boba. But it's Viet coffee boba, because that's the best.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's great.
I think I just got to go like Cold Stone ice cream cake as far as like how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you have like too much ice cream cake, you just kind of feel like gross and you feel kind of sick, you know? You know, because too much is something that can happen.
Yeah. You can't just
gotta have a little bit at a time.
Can't have it all at once.
Right. It can be too much of a good thing. But yeah, I like this a lot. Probably one of my favorite horror books that we've read, or just I've read in general.
Yeah, definitely. Would you rate this, Serena?
It's kind of bouncing off yours a little, but sure. Like a waffle, but with syrup in the holes of it. But again, like if you have too much. What if people had
trypophobia of like waffles?
Yeah, dude, probably.
There's like just a perfect like waffle machine where it makes them circular.
Yeah.
Ew.
Like, ooh, yeah.
It'd be gross.
I just think like, yeah, if you have too much of it, like too much syrup on it, it could ruin the whole waffle.
Definitely. Yeah, Sarah does that.
I rate this one bottle of olive oil that I drink.
Yeah.
Anyway, good book. Definitely check it out if you're looking for some good horror stuff. Mm-hmm. Really disgusting shit in here.
Does this interest you guys in more Junji Ito stuff?
Definitely. I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got like a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah. He's got Uzumaki, right?
Yeah, he has a Frankenstein book, which is like his interpretation of Frankenstein.
Nice.
Which I have and haven't read. But yeah, he's got a lot of stuff.
Nice.
I don't know if they're all anthologies, but it seems like he likes to do like the short story kind of stuff.
Mm.
But yeah.
I think he's pretty good at it. So
yeah.
Definitely killer.
Good stuff. So let's go into the pull list, Colin.
Shove in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Rena, did you get any books?
Did you get any books? Did you pick up comics?
No, none actually. She's a
trade waiter. True trade waiter.
Yeah.
Daniel, I picked up Batman and Robin year one.
Yep.
I think I have an addiction to number ones because I picked up four this week.
Four number ones? I didn't know there was four.
I picked up Batman and Robin year one, Batman Full Moon number one.
The vampire one? The
vampire one, or where Batman shows his ass. I don't really know yet, because it's called Full Moon, so I don't know what the context is. So, Moon Knight, Fist of Khonshu, number one.
Okay.
I'm like, let me try it again, because people seem to be liking this.
This is the number one?
It's a number one, but it's like still maybe carrying on the story, but it's number one.
Has it been out for a while?
No, it came out this week.
Oh, okay.
But like that creative team has been on it since the last Moon Knight that I didn't really like and I dropped off of, but they're still going and people seem to be liking it. So I'm going to pick this one up. It also had a good Scotty Young cover. So.
Okay.
And I picked up a number one from last week called Sentinels, which is the X-Men book. And Parker said it was really good. So I picked it up and I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And then I also picked up Uncanny X-Men, Green Lantern, and World's Finest.
Okay.
What'd you pick up?
Going to get the Domain number four. And Barfly number three comes out.
Nice.
Yep. I guess I don't have number one.
I guess I don't have number two.
Yeah. And what's cool is that Patton Oswalt was on Jimmy Kimmel promoting it, which is pretty cool.
Promoting Barfly?
Yeah. Number three, specifically.
Number three?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Because normally Seth Meyers is like the cool, like late night comic guy. Yeah. And he'll like have creators on there. So it's just cool that it's on like that kind of platform of Kimmel, you know?
That's sweet.
So I went to a comic shop in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, yeah. You went to Michigan.
Yeah. And we just stumbled across a comic shop. It was crazy. We were just going to get brunch and it was on the way.
To go 1 mile detour and
found this.
They gave me a bookmark. It's called Vault of Midnight. And this comic shop's been around since 1996. So it's as old as me.
That's older than me.
Yeah. Older than you. And I was just kind of looking. They have a really nice setup. They have a lot of good trades and whatnot. I was looking at all their floppies and whatnot.
Was it big? Was it a big shop? Or
Yeah. It was big. It was a deep shop, you know. And then I think they had it downstairs, but I didn't have enough time to go downstairs.
Mm.
But I was like, I'm not going to get anything. But then I was like, ooh, what if they have something that's like out of print, you know?
Okay.
And so I went straight to the C's and I went to Conan the Barbarian and I got Jason Aaron's first trade of Conan the Barbarian.
That's out of print?
Yeah, it's out of print because Conan is under like Dynamite or something.
Oh,
now.
That's right.
And so you can't buy the Marvel, like Marvel run.
Doesn't own it anymore.
Yeah. You can't buy it digitally and you can buy it on like Amazon, but it's like marked up a little bit.
You can't buy it digitally?
Mm-mm. So I saw this, and there's two copies. I'm like, should I get Nathan one? But then I'm like, nah.
Appreciate that. I think I have the first three issues of it.
Look at the Assad Ribbit cover.
Yeah, I have this cover.
Oh, you have this book?
Yeah, when it was coming out.
Yeah, because I've been wanting to, you know, I don't know if I've been wanting to read Conan, but like, I'd be interested enough to read Jason Aaron's run.
Yeah, for sure. It
looks so fresh.
Yeah, so fresh and so clean. You want to look at it?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Is it? It's not Assad on art, is it?
No, it's just the cover. Just but covers. The interior art's so good, though.
Isn't it like,
it's like a name.
Mahmoud Azrar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty sick. He's a good artist.
Yeah, he seems good. Like, yeah, you can put that back.
Yeah, smell it.
Put your nose in that bad boy.
Nice.
And so, yeah. That was like an excuse. I'm like, I have to get it because I know that.
Because I might never get it again.
I looked at it. I've looked for it in like other places. I'm like, maybe it's out there, you know?
Yeah.
And nice. So, yeah, they had a good stock there.
That's cool.
Nice.
Love seeing comic shops in other states.
Yeah, it's very fun.
It's my favorite stuff.
And there's a couple options, but that one I just happened to. I took a route to the breakfast place that we were going to, and I was like, oh, we got to go down Main Street, and then it'll be.
Did you just find the comic shop and you looked for breakfast places around there?
She showed me the breakfast place, and then I searched comic shops. And I'm like, it's on the way. It's perfect.
Okay, nice.
And then we walked up. I'm like, whoa, comic shop.
No way.
She's like, did you know? I'm like, ah.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
But
that's funny.
Yeah, good find.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Guys, support. Did you read anything, Nathan?
I read Absolute Batman number one.
Ooh.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Because, Daniel, they like aren't even like fucking staying true to the character, and it's like their logo's too big and it looks dumb, and it's like, why would you not even stay true to the character, even though it's an alternate universe and there's a million other Batman comics that you could read if you don't like this. I'm just kidding, it's awesome.
Okay
I'm just making fun of the people that were complaining about the dumbest shit, because this is the Batman that has the most aura.
Ooh. Out of
any other Batman comic I've ever read.
This Batman is younger than us.
He's was born in 2004.
Yeah.
Me? He's as old as me.
He's as old as you.
Can you imagine?
And he looks like Sam Sulek.
Can you imagine
Sulek.
Me having aura?
I can't, which is why I was so surprised. But yeah. No, dude, it fucking rules.
Nice.
They like really made it like super cool. I was a little worried about it being like too edgy. Uh-huh. It seemed like that's kind of what they were going for. But it's like this version of Batman that's like super like buff and like huge. Like Sam Sulek almost.
Can I see
like
a picture?
Yeah. It's like pretty famous. Dude, did you see that the...
I think you were on last when it was like announced. And we're like, look how big this guy is.
Oh, maybe.
Remember like the really big like rectangle like logo?
Oh.
We'll show you a picture to remind you.
I think
you.
I remember, but I... Yeah.
Like this.
Yes.
Yeah. So that came out.
Oh, he does have aura.
He's and it fucking fine. Rules. He's... Really, it's really cool.
He's a thick boy.
I think they did really interesting things with his Bulking origin. Only.
We love big boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did like really interesting things with his origin. There's like an Alfred aspect of it that's like really interesting to me. You picked it up, right?
It's in my box. I haven't gotten back
to it. Okay, yeah. Shop. Definitely read it. I think it's a good time.
Sweet.
Yeah. So
excited.
It's a W.
It is a W.
Did you read anything else?
No. Didn't have time. I read a 400-page book for this podcast.
True, Daniel, what do you want from me? I gave you plenty of warning that it was long.
I know.
I read Get Fury, number one nice. And two.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the rated R comic.
Yeah.
From Marvel.
Marvel Max. And
is that what they were calling it?
Yeah, it's like a Max.
Oh, cool.
One. It's very good. It's, you know, Garth Ennis doing his war comics that he loves, and then he's just inserting Marvel characters, so it works.
Nice.
It's White Nick Fury, and then the Punisher is in it, and it's during Vietnam, you know.
Cool.
And Nick Fury, he gets captured by the Viet Cong or whatever.
Whoa.
And the government tasks the Punisher Getting to him? Go and killing him.
Oh.
Because he has too much he's got too much like intelligence too about the US military.
If he's in a situation where
he can't be trusted and he could be like tortured for the information. So they thought it'd be easier just to kill Nick Fury.
That makes no sense.
No, it's fucking awesome.
Like, if he's in a situation where he can kill him, surely he's in a situation where he could save him and, like, bring him back.
No, easier to kill him.
That's insane.
And so it's when it's, like, in Max, you know, he's able to be, like, as brutal as he wants. Like, there's some crazy kills in this. Like there's like a dude who gets like half of his face like chopped off with like a machete.
Whoa. And
it's crazy.
Bang.
What makes like a comic book rated R? And do you have to have an ID to get it?
So I mean, if like a little 10-year-old goes and tries and buys this, I'm sure the dude would be like, I don't think so, dude.
There's like a really interesting history about the Comics Code Authority, which was a thing that had to be established because comics were getting too violent. And like, it was like on the news that like comics were so violent, it was making kids violent, kind of like how video games kind of have that rhetoric now.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah. And so the Comics Code Authority was put in place to like kind of make it like that.
Mm.
But nowadays, I think, yeah, as long as you're like over 13 or something, you could probably read most things.
They will have ratings on them sometimes for like nudity and then like blood and gore and stuff like that.
Yeah. But I've never really heard of like someone IDing for a comic, but I think I've just, ever since I've been into comics, I've been old enough to read them, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
I got ID'd when we went to Terrifier.
Yeah.
You did?
I was like,
that's so funny.
Yeah, I know.
You had to put down all your popcorn and shit.
Literally. No, like the,
you're like,
the,
what?
The people. No, she had to hold it for me because I literally only had two hands and it was in my purse.
Yeah.
But then the before me was a family and this girl was literally like 8 years old going into this
fucking
movie. There
were so many little kids.
And I was like,
yeah.
Shouldn't that be like illegal or something? Like,
parental consent. And
then you have to ID me.
Yeah, like, it's wild.
Which I get it, but like I don't.
I get, because it doesn't like ask for your like ID when you're like buying tickets online, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like back in the day where you had to like go up to the box office and then
have
a parent with you or whatever. I think they'd ID you then.
You still have to have a parent with you though for rated R's.
Yeah,
but
you do.
Which is probably good. I go to a friggin' restaurant and I can order a drink without them and IDing me. But like for a movie, like be so for real.
Yeah.
That's why you got to go with your friend, get a big trench coat, you sit on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And you have a mustache. Works every time.
Yeah. Fedora.
Yeah.
I think I really like Terrifier.
One ticket, please. Only one.
One adult ticket, please.
Because I am one adult.
Single. One adult. Yes.
You order two drinks.
Two popcorns.
Yeah. This Coke is for my lower half.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything else?
Yeah, what have you been watching lately?
Oh, I watched this one anime, actually, with Jackson. It's called Darling in the Franxx or something like that.
Okay.
I don't really understand what it's about, but he said it was really good. It's about, like, this girl. I'm not even going to try to explain it, but it's actually pretty interesting. And I also watched Jujutsu Kaisen. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, cool.
I haven't tried it.
It's actually pretty good, but there's only one. Well, there's two seasons, but I heard the second season was really bad, so I didn't even bother watching it. But the first season,
I thought people liked that one more.
I heard the opposite. I thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the first one was really good.
You should watch it and form your own opinions for once.
Huh?
Maybe you should watch it and form your own opinions for once.
True.
You freaking kids.
I just trust other people because they said the Joker movie's bad, and it was bad. So like,
I kind of liked it.
You're besides the point. You're the 1% that like that.
That's because I form my own opinions. You know, I'm not a sheeple like you.
Bro, okay.
I watched Scream for the first time.
The first Scream?
Yeah. Never seen it.
That movie's very scary, actually.
Literally the finest screams in history. Like, literally the first one,
like
fine
the, like
scream.
The killers?
Like, they're Matthew so
Lillard?
Fine.
Lillard?
They're fine.
Matthew Lillard has screams. Aura.
Yeah.
Yeah, has, Shaggy?
The most
so
recent.
Aura.
The most recent one that came out was actually pretty good with Jenna Ortega.
I haven't seen that one, but
you guys should.
Is that five or six?
Six.
It's Jenna like Ortega, fucking right? Eight. I thought
there's so many.
They're
of
calling
them.
It six.
Oh,
but
what's really good? It's basically a wrap up of all the screams in one, so you have to watch all of them to understand, I guess.
Yeah, it was really good. The first scene is like iconic and it holds up like super well, like the Drew Barrymore scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. I've seen Scary Movie like all the way through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, they just took everything from Scream.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like literally like bar for bar, they just make fun of every scene that happens.
Yeah. God, that movie's so good.
And I'm like, I can't believe I've seen these movies in this order, you know? And I get like what they're making
seeing
fun
the
of
spoof and then going into the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do really good. Like getting stabbed is scary, you know?
Yeah.
And they do really good at like freaking me out with like, I don't know, being stabbed.
Yeah.
I think being stabbed is like, well, I would rather get shot. Am I crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Much quicker.
Yeah.
It's way quicker, and then your adrenaline's higher, so you don't even feel it.
And they could miss.
Yeah, they could miss.
I also think it's crazy. Like, I don't know if which movie it is. I think it's basically all of them, but like the scream where he like, they're like right in front of each other, but they're like going back and forth, but he has that like suit on, so it even makes it even scarier, because I don't even know, but like, you know how he's like running after you? Yeah. It's just like that adrenaline. I'm like, if that happened to me.
Like that is just a, it's a terrifying situation. Like you're in your own home kind of deal, and it's like,
And he's not like some powerful like slasher. It's like just a person. Yes. So like people like fight back and like, oh, you almost got him, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Like there's this one girl who's like throwing beer bottles at him and they're like shattering. He's like, ah.
It's shit. Yeah. I have this mindset that I've watched so many horror movies that I'd be able to get out of every single
situation
because I'm like,
can't hurt.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, good stuff. But Terrifier 3.
Terrifier 3.
Tokyo Drift.
That is the third one, isn't it?
Yeah. Terrifier 3, The Return of Art. I don't know other like
Christmas in New York
third sequels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion, but I think it's like one of the best out of the three.
I think it's at two for me.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the first one.
The first one.
The second one is actually horrible.
The first one's like scary. You know, I think this one, Art kind of like loses his scariness a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, he's like funny, you know,
and
like and charismatic, you know.
I think that's like what makes it. I like love that though. I love how it's like, he can be really scary with like his face and everything, but he like, when he met Santa or whatever, that shit was funny as fuck.
Yeah,
it like was... he pushed away the girls, like did not care about it. It was just like so. I like love how there's even with Scream, like Scream can be funny. You know how they put the different mask on him, like what's that? Whatever.
Yeah.
Like what's that? I just like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's definitely a horror comedy, I would say.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, it's a fun time, and then I think it just gets so crazy with like the kills that like it's still like horror, definitely. And people like. Maybe can't handle that sort of thing.
Did you see the second one?
Yeah, I didn't like that one at all.
Yeah.
Well, like I mean, there's good stuff in it, and it's definitely like a step up, and you can see like the budget in it, and you know it's cool, but they're able to do just so much with so little in the first one, and
yeah,
that is like the scariest art, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
And so,
because I don't think he originally was really that funny in the first one.
No, there's like maybe a few funny parts.
Yeah, but I think like.
They definitely
vamped it up like from the second one, and then
it's because he put on the sunglasses and everybody loved that.
Yeah,
the flower sunglasses.
Those were so funny, bro.
That was pretty.
That was like the best part of that movie.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
The whole
interaction and like the
spirit Halloween.
Which is a very fun idea.
Yeah,
but yeah, in this one, it's you know, there's a lot. It's like kind of fun seeing him like kind of walk around, and he like I think one of the elements that I was interested in the most is he's carrying around this like big trash bag of stuff, and I'm
this
like
indestructible trash bag.
It looks so thin, that trash bag. It doesn't look like it would carry any tools.
Yeah, but apparently it's got to be like padded with like all of his knives and shit.
And like, I kept thinking there was gonna be like body parts or something in there that he like pulls out and like gives to a kid or something. But it was like always tools that he used for killing, and I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
when he blew up the whole mall, I was like, that was the most like least expected thing I in that movie. I feel like everything else I pretty much expected.
I thought it was gonna be a gun.
He's not much of a bomb guy.
I thought one of them was gonna grab like like a body part or like in a bloody axe and be like, mommy, what's this, or some shit, and they all scream whatever. But the blowing up is fucking crazy.
Yeah, there definitely some unexpected stuff in there.
Yeah,
because he's so used to, I don't know, getting his hands dirty, I guess, and using but knives, with Art, sledgehammers, whatever.
Yeah, with Art, nothing is like off the table.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he keeps that like unexpectedness, you know,
which I think is cool.
I also didn't understand though, like when he went up to the attic and they kind of just like rotted there until someone touched them again.
The lore of this whole thing is really confusing.
He's on sleep mode.
Yeah,
like I don't know if it's like lore a thing when he's confusing. Done killing, or when he gets killed he like goes back to this
like haunted house
rotting,
or something.
Yeah, yeah, this house, and like he starts rotting until someone touches it again, and then he's like,
what was that house, and like why did he go into like hibernation mode?
Yeah,
what activated him? Like all that stuff's kind of confusing.
I've seen like TikToks that kind of explain it. I'm like, sure. I kind of almost prefer not to know like what Art is in like all this like backstory kind of thing.
It definitely makes it better,
because like having the mystery makes him like scarier.
Yeah,
almost. I also feel like they don't really know fully. They probably did like at this point,
They're definitely mm-hmm. building it as they go.
Yeah, but like second movie, they were like, it'll be fine if it doesn't make any sense, like what was going on. I think they have an idea of where they want to go, because there's probably going to be another one.
There's going to be like two more.
Two more, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think one of the best parts of this movie is when he kills the podcaster.
Yeah.
Because I think anybody that is on a podcast or has a podcast is very cringe.
Is the worst.
And deserves to be killed.
I saw this TikTok and I was like, if you're a straight male, just so you know, you don't have to make a podcast.
I know. You don't. I've seen those all the time. I
think. Wrong. Yeah.
Disagree. Who am I supposed to
talk
to? Or
like it's a bunch of frat boys and they do a podcast. It's not funny at all. Like that's the hot talk to a podcast.
How dare you?
Bad example. Bad example.
Yeah, but...
I want to be eating my lunch.
That is the peak of society.
Oh, yeah. God.
Dude, it was like number three, like on Spotify. Parts.
I know.
Isn't that insane?
What?
Yeah, so this is our last episode. We're giving up.
We're pivoting.
The idea of like a comedy podcast like makes me so upset.
Yes.
Unless you're like a comedian, you know, like a stand-up or something.
But someone like starting...
Yeah, we just joke around, you know?
I'm pretty funny.
I feel like it literally has to have like a meaning. Like I feel like I love the like wellness podcast where they talk about shit that like is normalized and all mm-hmm. that. Or
they have structure and like
or like theme, how you guys talk about books. You actually are talking about something that like is relevant to if they clicked on it. But mm-hmm. if like a frat boy talks about what happened at ASU that night, it's like I don't give a fuck.
You're lying.
Yeah.
Bro, that's crazy when like fucking Breslin like took that shot and he like threw up everywhere. Yeah. Oh man. That was crazy. But yeah. I liked when the podcaster died.
Yeah, that was a crazy just sequence.
I think that was the
shower kills are crazy.
Like, I don't think there's been a kill in the Terrifier movie that I saw where I was like, okay, I'm glad that person's dead. But it seems like they made that a goal of this movie to like make that one feel earned and like kind of like you kind of rooting for him a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting kind of dynamic.
But also like the boyfriend. I'm like, oh, he was kind of cool.
Yeah, boyfriend was great. Boyfriend was fucking normal.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like got involved. Empathy.
He's like the straight man. Be like, yeah, that's how I feel.
Kind of thing. And he was being like a nice friend to like the brother.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. Your roommate.
The girl, she's just like, it was 5 years ago. Who gets over that, bruh? Shut up. Be so for real.
Yeah, I think the actor that played the main girl, what's her name, Sierra?
Yeah.
Sienna
Star or something.
Her acting made me think like, oh man, if I ever interacted with a killer that was like still out there, I thought like I would not be able to just function.
Yes, yeah.
All like, their feelings are valid.
If you knew that the body wasn't there when the police showed up, are you kidding me? I would stay in my house.
I would check myself in a mental facility as well. Like everything. And like her portrayal of like all of that trauma and stuff when it comes back and she's like reacting to like she's just trying to be normal and have like her family have like a nice Christmas or whatever. Yeah. And then she's just thinking about her dead friend and like all of that.
Oh my God.
It was all very believable. I think she's a really good actress actually. So
yeah, no.
Especially when she was at the dining table. That was like a really good part in the movie where I was like, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
And it's a really good part.
Yeah. She's like the best part of like the second movie. Like
for sure.
Adding this like mm-hmm. consistent protagonist mm-hmm. who's like actually kind of like destined to like be the only thing that can stop art, mm-hmm. you know? So,
is it?
Oh, did you? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did you see the shit on TikTok where it's like, I don't like to watch movies that make fun of the king or whatever, and it's like of God because of the
crown of thorns.
Yeah. And I was like,
I've
been seeing so many of those, and I'm like, it's just a movie, please. Like, I get how you can like be like upset about that, but if you really think about it, it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, I don't like when kids die, but two of them died in here.
Yeah,
probably more.
Exactly. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that just sounds like super Christians, you know?
Yeah.
I know you were worried about the kids getting chopped up and whatever.
Yeah, because there was the trailer, which was just kind of like the first scene where a little girl's coming down the stairs and Art the Clown is putting shit under the tree or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think this is the movie that would, you know, if they're trying to like, you know, up the craziness,
cross the line.
They might like chop up some kid and we just watch it.
Chop up some kid's arm, you know.
That doesn't happen, luckily. It's like alluded
on screen.
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't watch it happen.
Yeah.
But I would be like, I think this might be, that's the kind of what I was more scared of. Not anything that would happen in the movie, but like me having to watch that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think
that's good that they I mean, it's definitely good.
I'm sure it's happened in like one of those like extreme horror movies or whatever, mm-hmm. but like, I'm just glad it didn't happen in this.
Yeah.
Know? I really like how they push the line. Like, they literally, like, they'll do anything to cross the line with these kind of movies. I don't know why. It's just like.
You mean like.
They.
With some of the kills?
Yeah. I like how they really think out of the box with like the kills and shit.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones is like they take like a X-Acto knife and like cut like a dude's scalp and like pull it down.
Yeah, like a banana, dude.
That was crazy.
I'm like, oh, that's a good one.
When she, with the glass. Oh my God. When she was watching.
Yeah,
that was the most horrifying part.
Art did find someone that matches his freak. And I think that that's cute. Shows that there's somebody for everybody out there.
They made for each other.
I think the part that made me cringe at like seeing it happen. Was
the dialogue.
The dialogue. The story. No, like when the dude in the shower, when he gets his like leg cut and he tries to run away and then his leg like gives out from under him.
Yeah.
And when you see it cracks like actually like crack in front of him, I was like, oh
yeah.
Good one.
Like it's like football.
Yeah.
It's some of those some of those football.
Leg injuries like, creep injuries. The fuck out of me, dude.
Yeah.
Whenever I see bone in like a leg injury, I'm like,
eee. When I see anything like that, I'm like, their career is over.
No, yeah.
Yes.
They're never going to walk again or some shit.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, there's no coming back from that.
And he's like still trying to get away. And then he pulls the leg off of him. It was great. So some good kills here. It ends in a really weird way because we don't see most of her family die.
Yeah. I feel like they took that from us.
They really cut that part. Like
they developed all these characters and we don't even see him. Like get killed when they do get killed.
Yeah.
Like and there's so many like not as important kills. Like the only one I would argue is important that isn't connected to the main character is like the Santa one.
Yeah.
Because he puts on the Santa costume. But all the other ones could have been cut out to make room for us seeing like the family get killed if they're gonna get killed anyway, you know?
Right.
Like I don't know if it was Sophia or Sarah, but they were confused about how like the dad and the brother died. Mm-hmm. But then, like, it made sense to me because, like, she was
like doing the
mimicking the voice of the son and being like, oh, where are you? And he's like, I'm right in front of your dorm. So, obviously, mm-hmm. they killed them there. But the I wish they would have saw, like...
The whole finding people is just, like, I guess something you have to not think about. Because they find, like, the uncle and then they find, like, the brother or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I guess they just find him or whatever.
Yeah, which is fine. But, yeah, it's just interesting that... The brother is like a main character in the last movie and in this movie. And then it's like, oh, yeah, there's this skull. Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Which doesn't pay off, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Because that could be like pretty devastating.
Yeah.
But they wanted to have like kind of a little twist kind of thing.
He like fought off really hard in the second movie. So why wouldn't he fought off really hard in the third?
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean?
Maybe they'll like jump back to it in the fourth one.
Maybe they will. Maybe. Yeah. We could be.
I think we're owed a little
bit. But for this movie, you know, it's a bit funky. No. It also seems like they're taking like a weird... like Evil Dead route with how they're expanding this. Like they're turning it very like hell themed, demon themed,
right. You
know, destiny themed type thing. It just kind of feels, it gave me like Evil Dead vibes with how they're trying to expand.
It definitely feels a little out of place, but they're just
trying to figure out how to keep it going.
They can move forward.
Yeah.
I like in the last scene where she's got a little bit of plot armor because there's definitely a lot of opportunities for them to kill her.
Yeah.
But instead when every time Art walks by, he just like slaps her in the head.
Dude. That shit was funny, bro.
She keeps getting slapped.
It's like such a fuck you.
Yeah.
And it's like
that shit would annoy me.
He's like, I got this thing, and then
Yeah, I was confused when he like broke her hands, and then she's able to like wield a sword pretty well and like fight off against, you know, whatever he's doing. And then apparently she has like a healing factor, like Wolverine.
Yeah.
So I guess like that kind of justifies it. But the whole time I'm like, her hands are fucking broken.
But that's cool because then it's like less. Weird that she's able to go like toe to toe.
Yeah, it makes sense that she can go toe to toe. But yeah, I just wonder what they're gonna do with that because now I won't be scared for her life at all.
But then, like, why would she have scars then if she can?
I think she just got it.
Yeah,
it seems like
I just don't know why. So that remains to be explained. It's just an interesting approach that they're going with it.
It seems like they're at like a good pace right now because the second one came out like in 2022.
Yeah,
so potentially in 2026 we have Terrifier 4. You know.
Yeah.
And we should all see him.
It's all
see
the best of him during Easter.
As you should.
Ooh.
Easter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had fun. This is cool. This is the first one in theaters, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. What do you mean?
First Terrifier in theaters?
They're all in theaters.
I think the second one was in theaters.
Oh, I thought they were both straight to streaming for some reason. But
no, the first one was in theaters, but like not a lot, apparently. And, you know, maybe more like boutique kind of theaters, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once like the popularity, because the second one was like a wide release, you know, I remember, I remember like the hype around it.
Gotcha, gotcha.
But I just waited for...
That's cool.
Digital. What are we gonna read next week? So, Rena, what are we gonna read when you come back for the Christmas episode?
Oh, I don't know.
We have suggestions.
Okay.
Do you have suggestions?
The Deviant? Is that what you're gonna suggest?
There is the Deviant.
Wait, weren't we gonna do Krampus or something?
There was.
We can do Krampus. I don't know if it's like that good necessarily. There's like the Krampus movie that's great, but I'll show you the covers of like a few things. So this is the Krampus book that come from Image Comics. So that's an option.
Okay.
This is Batman Santa Claus Silent Night, but with a K because he's the Dark Knight or whatever. So it's a Batman Santa Claus team up, apparently, with some evil dude in the back. I don't know.
Valid.
This is The Deviant, which is like a Christmas horror book. So kind of like a horror Christmas slasher kind of thing. I don't know what this one is about, but this is a book called Friday. There's like a bloody knife in the snow.
Oh, it's like a...
Is that like a...
I don't know if it's Christmas, but it's like
a crime thing?
It's like a crime noir set
book
in like
one,
a snowy
colon,
area.
The first day of Christmas.
Oh, never mind.
So get out of here.
I guess it is. That one's supposed to be pretty good. Marcos Martín, right?
Yeah. So those are all options that we'll get to eventually.
Yeah.
So next year, we'll probably just show you all the same books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
any of those.
I'll let you decide.
I think I have like two or three. So the Friday one looks interesting. And so does the Batman. The
Batman Silent Night.
Because I feel like we haven't done a lot of superhero ones, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, super.
But I feel like that'd be cool. And then... What was the one you showed me before?
The Deviant?
Wait, the Deviant?
The Deviant, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That one looks really good, too.
Yeah, I read the first issue of that, and it is... I like the first issue, and I'm like, it makes you want to like read more, so...
It's also a newer book. Came out...
I guess that could also be like a horror book that we do in October, no, but...
Christmas book.
Gotta be Christmas? Okay. Yep.
I don't know.
So,
with that logic, Terrifier 3 should have came out around Christmas.
Disagree. That's a horror movie.
No, I think it should have came around Christmas. I feel like that would be perfect advertising.
Vibes would be immaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand why they
really get you in the Christmas
in October.
Spirit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I get why you would do it in both.
So I guess it's if you're feeling a horror book, a crime book, an action book, super book, you know, whatever you're kind of
Options. I think we should do The Deviant.
Okay.
And then I like that. Next year, maybe Friday.
I like it.
Cool. We'll do that.
I'll remember that.
We'll just look back.
Cool. Right. The Deviant Volume 1. Check, actually, hold on.
Check back. In December, when we have Serena on again.
You haven't read it? You've only read the
first? Because I had to like know.
We had to gauge for when you if came it was on. Good.
Oh, okay.
It's weird because the first trade is 1 through 4.
The whole thing's what, 8?
9.
9?
So the second one is, the second trade is
5 issues. 5. Oh, interesting.
But the last issue comes out on Christmas Day, which is,
neat. That'd be kind of
fun.
But
the trade doesn't come out until like March.
Yeah.
Mm.
What a weird release schedule. Okay.
Oh, dude. The first trade literally came out today.
Yeah. I saw it at my shop today.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool, cool.
So that'll be what we're just reading next. The Deviant. In December.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Cool.
But Nathan, what are we reading next week?
I have no idea.
Do you want to read Vote Loki?
Oh, because of the elections?
The election.
Oh, God.
Yes. I actually really
a political
do.
Book.
That'd be perfect. It's a holiday.
Hell yeah.
For all the people that are voting Loki this year. Yeah, let's do it.
Sweet. Sounds good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks, Rena, for coming on once again.
And reading so many pages today, apparently.
Yeah, just busting those out today.
Yep.
Love it.
Tell us if you liked Terrifier 3. Tell us what your favorite Junji Ito book is. TradewordsPod@gmail.com. Email in. Link tree in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe. And goodbye.
Peace.
Bye.